My name is Leo Phillips, and I am the vice chair for the 11th Congressional District and also the vice chair for Cherokee County GOP.
And also an elected delegate coming up for this Republican convention starting Monday, right?
That's correct. I was elected at the district convention back in April.
And what do you do for a living?
I am an attorney, and I practice from Silva down to Franklin and Murphy, North Carolina.
Okay. And why did you run as a delegate?
Well, it's something that I've always wanted to do since I was a kid. I remember the first convention that I watched, which was the Ford Reagan convention in 1976. And since I had just recently, prior to this, been selected to be the vice chairman for the 11th Congressional District, I just thought it would be kind of neat to represent our district as an elected delegate in Cleveland. And I was blessed with the opportunity to get the number one votes out of the convention in April. So it's something that I was very committed to do. I visited 12 out of the 16 counties, county conventions. So it paid off.
So this is a really sort of involved election that I think a lot of people don't really know even takes place, this electing of the delegates. Can you tell me a little bit about what that's like?
Sure. It's like running for any type of office. You go, you meet the party activists. You try to do that before the county convention, so you have some type of relationship built up with these individuals that would be voting from each individual county at the district convention. So you go, you make a little speech sometimes if time's available, or at least go and talk to the delegates that are selected at the county level that will then go on to the district and state level. Those are the state delegates. Those aren't the national delegates. Those are the people that actually vote on the district level at the district convention. And of course, there's another slate at the state convention. Each congressional district has three spots. Those are spots that are filled at the district convention. Those are three delegates and three alternates. And then, of course, at the state convention, which was in May in Greensboro, there was a slate which the state delegates at the state convention filled, and that was an additional 30 delegates and 30 alternates.
Oh, okay, I see. And so I saw a pretty extensive list of people who are running to be delegates. Why do you think your message resonated?
Well, the first thing out of my mouth was I said, I'm sorry. First, I must apologize that I didn't get to all the counties. And I just want to announce that I am for Trump, and I want to be a bound delegate for Donald Trump. That caused a lot of cheering and happiness. So what had been happening in many of our districts in the state and, of course, around the country was Senator Cruz had an excellent ground campaign, but he wasn't apparently getting the numbers at the ballot box as Donald Trump was. So I think that resonated very well with the delegation for the 11th Congressional District.
That you were sort of on board with the candidate that was getting the most votes, is that what you mean?
On board with the candidate that I think would make the best president.
That actually, I guess, puts you at odds a bit with Mark Meadows, who I know endorsed Ted Cruz, and I'm not sure what his position on Donald Trump is currently. Do you know?
Well, that's an interesting question. He and I have chatted several times since the district and state convention, and it's my understanding that Congressman Meadows is supporting Donald Trump, who's obviously going to be the nominee next Thursday at this time. It is correct that he did campaign. I believe he campaigned for him in South Carolina and Iowa. But as an individual, as Mark is, and as I am, we can support whoever we feel would do the best job at that process. But once the process is over with, what I like to tell people after the district convention is we need to get in the boat, grab the oar, and row in the same direction.
Why were you so supportive of Donald Trump from the beginning?
Well, I have to be very honest. It wasn't in the very beginning. I met him for the first time back in June of last year at the state convention, the NCGOP convention. And at that time, I was supportive of Governor Walker from Wisconsin. And obviously, he did not go the full distance. And then I just watched and remembered growing up in New York and also watching Donald Trump after 9/11. I'm very impressed with someone that not only is a businessman, can create jobs for people, but he had a special commitment to the residents of the New York metropolitan area. He didn't leave. He could have very easily left with his business and his headquarters out of New York City after 9/11, but he was committed enough to help rebuild that area after that horrible attack on September 11. So that was something that just was the final factor of, well, no one's perfect, but this man's got a record to show that wasn't dependent on a government job all of his life. And I think that's what resonated with me versus some of the other candidates. The fact he was able to defeat 16 other well-known, some of them very well-known, Republican candidates was another thing that just reinforced the belief that if Hillary was going to be the nominee for the Democrats, this is someone that is going to be able to go up to her, go toe-to-toe in the debates, and then once he gets into the White House, take nothing off the table in negotiations, whether it's with trade, international relationships, anything, that he will speak for the people. Basically, many of us, I included, have felt left out in the last 8 years. Okay. I've come from a working class background. My father worked 6 days a week building houses. So I've been able to put myself through school, develop a business in Western Carolina, and do very well. And that's the American dream. And I think he exemplified that. That's why I supported him.
Are you at all worried about some of the inflammatory comments that he's made that have become controversial?
No.
Do you have any concerns about the Republican establishment not getting behind him? Do you think that that's going to create any sort of chaos on the convention floor?
Well, you know, that's a very good and interesting question. And I see, we are receiving many emails from this one particular group, the Never Trump movement. But I've spoken to many people in the North Carolina GOP leadership, including Chairman Hayes, who I've had on my own radio show out of 95.1 out of Young Harris. And Chairman Hayes has made it very clear he's on the what he calls the Trump train. So who these establishment candidates are or establishment leaders are, I don't know. I know anyone that's a precinct captain up is part of the establishment. And I've not run across outside of maybe a couple of people, but even them understand, being a party activist, they understand that it's very important to support your candidate, whether it was the candidate you supported during the primary or not. So I don't think it's going to be a problem. I think the Rules Committee for the RNC rules meets, I believe, sometime on Thursday. So that should end any issue that there may or may not have been in regards to folks that might try to unbound the delegates. All I know is I gave my word to the people of the 11th District to support their views, which was to overwhelmingly support Donald Trump for president.
Do you think some of that could be sort of exactly what you're talking about, sort of this feeling of being left out? And maybe, you know, I assume that you were talking at the time of being left out by the Democrats in the White House, but maybe also being left out by the Republican Party itself.
I don't feel left out by the Republican Party. I felt left out with the president and the vice president currently in the occupation of the White House at this point. I think starting with Congressman Meadows and Senator Tillis and Senator Burr, I think they've represented the regular folk in North Carolina. I think they've done a good job. Now, you know, Congressman Meadows supported Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is a very good man. He ran an excellent campaign, but he didn't win. And I think all of them realize that if you are a Republican, you need to support the entire ticket, especially the party activists. I don't think there's a problem with party activists coming out. I can tell you this right now. I cannot keep anything that has Trump's name on it without having to give it out. I don't have anything left at this point.
You're talking about merchandise.
Bumper stickers. No, I'm talking about bumper stickers, yard signs, palm cards. You can't keep it long enough to build up a stockpile. It's, as soon as you get it, it's gone. People want it.
That's really interesting. You know, I'm talking to you from Asheville, and, you know, you drive around Asheville, the only bumper stickers you see are Bernie Sanders stickers. So there is this sort of anti-establishment vibe that's going around, I think.
That's true. And see, you've got to remember, too, and it's on the reverse side for me. This morning I was in Robbinsville, okay, and overwhelmingly Trump. Obviously, you will not find a Bernie Sanders bumper sticker out.
Right.
So it all depends on where you are and what part of the district. And that's perfectly fine. That's what makes us Americans, is to be able to have a difference of opinion. And Bernie Sanders is a fine man. I think my mother's family is from Vermont originally. And I remember Uncle Bernie from the days of growing up. And, you know, he was mayor of Burlington, Vermont. And there was always free cheese and free ice cream and free hot dogs. I mean, everything was free. Well, you know, that's fine for a small place like Burlington, Vermont, but in a country with 300 million people, you can't give everything away for free.
You know, sort of getting back to the Never Trump thing, you know, on the other side of the aisle, Hillary Clinton obviously is trying to coalesce supporters of Bernie Sanders to her side and is having a difficult time doing that. Do you think that's sort of just the same thing that happens in any competitive primary where there's people that are still just sort of been out of shape that they've lost, and that may be where this Never Trump movement is coming from?
Well, you know, if you look back just 8 years ago, and it seemed like it took a while for Senator Sanders to endorse Hillary. I seem to remember 8 years ago where Senator Clinton came out pretty quickly after the last primary, which I believe was South Dakota, and she came out pretty quickly in support of then Senator Obama. So I think there might be something else going on over in the Democratic side that I have not been able to figure out, and not spent the time looking, because I'm just trying to get ready to go to Cleveland at this point. But it's interesting to see that it is taking a while for the core of the Democratic Party really to warm up to Hillary. I don't know. It might be fatigue. It might be Clinton fatigue at this point. It might be the fact that, you know, without getting too political with it, it just seems a little strange that the investigation with the FBI ended the way it did. It just didn't seem to really give a lot of closure. If anything, it just left open the speculation that there was a special deal, there was arrangements or whatever. It just, for instance, I'm an attorney in a small town. Whenever we have a jury pool in the courthouse, you are instructed by the court not to talk to anyone because it might be a juror, not to look at anyone because it might be a juror, not to do anything that would give an appearance of impropriety. And it just seems really strange to me, just a small-town country lawyer, that someone on the magnitude of a Secretary of State of the United States is able to have her own server, which was clearly, I can't remember, I think he's the director of the FBI said it was malfeasance or misfeasance.
I remember that was just extremely reckless, or as the
extremely
quote
reckless
stood out in the
and that concerns
media.
Me because, you know, growing up in the age of Carter and Reagan, and they blamed Reagan for being reckless. Well, the only thing reckless that Ronald Reagan ever might have done was his little joke when the microphone was on about outlawing the Soviet Union and bombing would commence in 10 minutes. Was that right? No, but does it reach the level of recklessness where there's thousands of emails out there that we don't even know what's in them? I mean, is this indicative of how she's going to be president of the United States? There's arguments that can be made, good and bad, for both of them. And that's very striking and very telling in light of what her husband did end of the first term and through the second term of his presidency.
Well, you know, you're going to Cleveland. What sort of message do you hope to bring, or any sort of agenda that you hope to set if you're able to?
Depending on what the rules committee does, I know it takes a quarter of the actual committee to get it before the floor of any changes. So clearly I would not unbind the delegates. I don't think changing the rules at this point on such a drastic of a way is appropriate. Now, if there's minor tweaks that have to be done, that's one thing. But when you change something that was fundamentally the rule or the procedure that we were supposed to go by, I don't feel comfortable doing that. We have a role, which in regards to selection of the vice president, if there's one or more candidates that put their name before the floor, I'm not bound on that, although I have talked to people in the 16 counties in the 11th congressional district and tried to get a feel of what people were thinking of who would be a good candidate, although that's something that Donald Trump should have a huge input on. But we're not bound as a delegate to vote for whoever he puts up, and just go and meet fellow Republicans around the country, There's a few I would hope to meet if they are there, and I haven't had a chance to look through the list to see if there's any distant cousins from Wisconsin or maybe Maryland that might be in there. So I'm hoping to do that. That's about it. Just go and be with fellow Republicans.
Yeah. So and you know, obviously there's some serious business to conduct, but do you think you'll get a chance to have some fun?
Oh, yeah. There is a load of events that are going to take place. I know on Sunday, the Doobie Brothers are going to be playing at an arena there in Cleveland. And there's a series of other breakout sessions talking about various issues that are facing the country. And yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of fun. And of course, it'll be kind of humorous to see about the apparently there is a permit that was allowed for nudists to protest, and I'm just kind of wondering how that one's going to work out. But you know, that's just my own little twisted sense of humor.
And you've been a Republican for a long time, right?
A long time.
Did you have any concerns? Obviously, you got on board with Donald Trump pretty early, and you believe in him. Did you have any concerns, like many other Republicans did, that his views and his stances weren't really in alignment with the Republican Party, or I should say the mainstream Republican Party? And do you have any of those concerns at this present time?
No, and you know, no one is perfect. No one is going to fit my exact agenda, what I feel is what a Republican should do, or even to many respects. I know the platform is tried to be rewritten every 4 years, so it is somewhat in alignment with your candidate. There's always been concerns when you look at the presidential candidate for the nominee. You know, there's things you don't 100% agree with Mitt Romney or John McCain or even George W. at the time when he ran in 2000. You're never going to agree with someone 100%. But if they've gone through the process and they agree to be in support of the platform and to do what the basic core principles of the party is, then I don't really have a problem with him not clicking off everything I agree with, because you're never going to have that happen. I'm sure it happens with the Democrats too. So no, I don't have any concerns with that.
We'll probably air this tomorrow or possibly on Monday. I'm not sure which, but and so we'll already likely have the answer to who Donald Trump's vice presidential pick will be. Do you have any favorites that you'd like him to select?
Actually, two that are still being talked about: former Speaker Gingrich, Governor Pence, and I have a lot of liking for the Oklahoma governor also. Those are all three names that are being circulated, so that's a good thing.
And what do you think those bring to the table for Trump?
Newt and Pence bring the rounded experience of not only being in Congress, but also running a state, which I think is important. It's good that we have a businessman at the top of the ticket, but it's also good to have someone that has run a state. That's why the Oklahoma governor is someone that I have interest with. I also really wanted to see the governor of New Mexico, but apparently she took her name out of contention, Susana Martinez. I think that's important. Newt has been around for so long, and he is a very intelligent individual. He's very committed to the party, and he knows the procedure of how the House of Representatives is run, obviously. And well-read, well-written, has a good sense of humor, and is able to really go toe-to-toe if something was to happen with the president. He could step in, and I feel very confident that he'd be able to step in. Those are things I'm looking at. And I also, to be very honest with you, looking long-term, being an activist in the Republican Party, if, you know, Mr. Trump only wants to do 4 years or he does his 8 years, do we have someone ready to pick up the mantle and run in 2020 or 2024? So that's why the other two are really people that I'm interested in.